Welcome to the SWNZ podcast, the podcast for New Zealand Star Wars fans. My name is Matt.
And my name is Christy.
Today is our 10th episode. We're going to run through a list of recent news announcements, including that exciting and unexpected television series confirmation that have come across our desk in the last week, and have a bit of a chat about recent local store reports. So hot off the press yesterday, quite surprisingly, we heard about a Cassian Andor live-action television series that has confirmed, with Diego Luna signed on to reprise his role as Cassian Andor. And it's going to be broadcast on the Disney Plus streaming service that's currently in development and set to launch next year. This was a huge surprise, completely out of the blue. It was announced during the Walt Disney Company fourth quarter 2018 financial earnings presentation, where Disney CEO Bob Iger slipped this huge news announcement into his opening speech. It was a brief sentence. I'll read it to you. It's quite interesting. In the middle of a lot of other detail, he simply said, "And we're working on a second live-action Star Wars series, a prequel to Rogue One, starring Diego Luna." That was pretty much it at that time, but fortunately StarWars.com followed up shortly thereafter with a little bit more clarity and information. So Disney Plus, the company's new direct-to-consumer streaming service, is set to launch in 2019, and they're obviously trying to get some hype surrounding that and some key titles to hook people in. Content on that channel is going to cover a number of different areas, and there's going to be a whole Star Wars subsection that's going to be quite distinct and quite circumscribed. And as well as the Mandalorian television series, this is going to be obviously one of their tentpole offerings. The Cassian Andor series follows the adventures of Rebel spy Cassian Andor during the formative years of the Rebellion and prior to the events of Rogue One. Diego Luna signed on to reprise his role, and he's been quoted as saying, "Going back to the Star Wars universe is very special for me. I have many memories of the great work we did together and the relationships I made throughout the journey. We have a fantastic adventure ahead of us, and this exciting new format will give us the chance to explore this character more deeply." The TV series is described as a spy thriller, which will explore tales filled with espionage and daring missions to restore hope to the galaxy. The release date has not yet been announced. It's interesting that this is all consistent with earlier commentary that came out a few weeks back when Kathleen Kennedy's Lucasfilm contract was extended, and the conversation at that time included the note that the near future of Star Wars lies in television, with Kennedy-led Lucasfilm planning on expanding the universe with new characters in that medium. And this definitely fulfills that brief.
This is quite an unexpected announcement, certainly out of the blue, but one that I think is going to be fantastic news for a lot of Star Wars fans. Rogue One certainly did really well with fans, and it's keeping in that original trilogy era without interfering with the continuity or getting too close to the original trilogy saga films with the hero characters like Han Solo and Luke. So putting it prior to Rogue One, we've still got that Empire era with Vader, Palpatine. We know Thrawn is around with his appearance in Rebels. You've got classic stormtroopers, and you've got, on the other side, classic X-Wing pilots. We know we've got Mon Mothma and the Rebels gathering strength. So it's going to be really interesting to see what sort of stories that they're going to show with a kind of a tighter focus on Cassian as like a Rebel spy. We know that he had used a sniper rifle in Rogue One, so we kind of see him as a bit of a secret agent, and it'll be really interesting to see how many elements they may bring in from Rogue One. At the start of Rogue One, he has K2SO. It'll be really interesting to see if they utilize many elements like we've seen in the film Rogue One.
Yeah, I think strategically it's a fantastic decision. We know a lot about the framework, but not necessarily about the details. Getting Diego Luna signed on to reprise a character that he's already familiar with is just brilliant. He knows the character. What we're going to end up with on screen is what we're already familiar with in terms of the Cassian character. But yeah, like you say, the other material surrounding it does give us a bit of a framework and a little bit of room to speculate and have a feeling for where this could go, considerably more so than the Mandalorian TV series, I think. We know the overall setting. From Lucasfilm's point of view, it's strategically very clever because they've probably got a lot of resources as well as characters and themes. They've got a lot of physical resources, leftover sets and props that they can utilize to keep production costs down that are going to immediately tie the viewer into familiar aspects of the Star Wars universe. This could very well be set on Yavin, or at least in part. We could potentially see characters that we already know that we saw from Rogue One, like General Draven and General Merrick and Admiral Raddus and even General Dodonna, characters that we're familiar with, actors that we're potentially familiar with. If this is set on Yavin or some other similar base, if we see them making use of existing, you know, props and even the X-Wing sets that they've got on hand, it's going to be exciting and it's going to really satisfy a lot of fans of those aspects of the original trilogy and of the Rogue One story. What I've noticed in the Resistance series is that they're not burning all of their cameos and guest roles in one hit. They're sort of cycling through them and using them in one or two episodes at a time. So we get this continual feel of characters and actors and voice actors and talent that we're familiar with without blowing them all in one hit. And they could well do this with the Cassian Andor series as well, like if they bought Mon Mothma in just for a brief period, if they bought Jimmy Smits as Bail Organa in just for a brief period. And obviously the big one that's potentially there is Alan Tudyk as K2SO. Will he show up? Will he show up early? Will he show up late, if at all? My personal preference would be maybe not right at the start, but maybe build up to that, and if they're looking at doing a second series or something, tease it near the end, or have the original encounter. Imagine seeing Alan Tudyk doing the actual Imperial version of K2SO before we even get the reprogrammed version. There's a lot of, obviously, speculation, but I think we've got a solid framework to sort of base that speculation on.
It'll be interesting to see as they release more information whether each episode will be about a specific mission or whether they will see longer story arcs with episodes telling the story in a longer format. And I know a lot of fans will be keen to see some of the Imperial elements, how much of that we'll sort of see, like whether we'll see the Scarif Troopers and Death Troopers, these new Imperial designs that sort of complemented the existing Empire troops, and whether we'll see larger scale conflicts like the AT-ACT vehicles that were used on Scarif, but whether they exist elsewhere in the galaxy at that point in time as well.
And the U-Wing.
Yeah, I love the U-Wing. I really hope we see that one in that as well.
Yeah, and I think the stories may well be tight. They may span a few episodes. I don't think they need to get too big with this for it to be really interesting. And obviously, because he's working for the Rebellion, the Empire is going to be the main focus. This isn't about crime lords or crime syndicates or anything, which the Mandalorian might be touching on. It's not the whole underworld sort of stuff. This is straight up going to be Rebels versus Imperials, I think, and I like that idea.
Well, it certainly ties into the classic original trilogy conflict that I think could really be hitting on those nostalgia notes for a lot of fans.
So even if it's told strongly from Cassian and the Rebels' perspective, their main focus is trying to counter the movements of the Empire, we're going to see a lot of Imperials, we're going to see a lot of Stormtroopers and variants and so forth. So the news to date is slim on this. It really came out of the blue when Bob Iger made his announcement at the financial shareholders press release for current financial quarter, with just a little bit of expansion through on StarWars.com and that brief quote from Diego Luna, which didn't give anything away at all. But I think we're in a position where we've got a stronger feeling for where this can potentially go than some of the other bits and pieces that Lucasfilm are working on in television or film, and that's really exciting. So it's not in production yet. Even The Mandalorian is in production. So this is probably going to be timed to come after it, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that long after it. Once they get the ball rolling on this, if they follow the same model and do a 10 episode series or whatever, I think the turnaround for that is less than a year. So I don't think we'll have to wait that long once the streaming service comes live. And I think when the Disney Plus streaming service comes live, I think because they're up against established competitors, they're going to want to really hook subscribers in fast and in big numbers. So they're going to probably want to get a lot of really big, good content out fast. And we might not have to wait until the end of The Mandalorian before the Cassian Andor series even starts. We'll wait and see how that pans out, how they approach that tactically.
And I certainly hope the Disney Plus service will launch in New Zealand at the same time as the US, considering that a lot of the major streaming services already have a very large international presence, like Netflix.
Yeah.
They've got to know that they have to go broad quickly in order to secure a good base.
Yeah, you're right. That is an unknown at this point. We don't know for certain. There's been no commentary about whether Disney Plus is going to be launched globally in one hit or not. But yeah, Netflix and some of the others are available, even though they're slightly regionalized I think Disney, to make this work, have to do what their competitors are doing, but do something more as well. And I think trying to get the whole market, the whole global market on one hit, I think is really important.
Because they'll have complete control over the distribution. They're creating the content and distributing it. So I really do hope they look at it as a global plan.
Okay, so what's the space for more news on the Cassian Andor television series? Okay, move on to some of the other news that cropped up. The Star Wars show screened a couple of days ago now, and it's kind of funny because we were lamenting on this point a little bit as well. They made reference to the notion that the last week or 2 weeks have been slow news weeks. They admitted to sort of having to scrape the bottom of the barrel to come up with content. But it was funny because one day later, this all broke and they had to issue a breaking news episode of the Star Wars show. But anyway, the main Star Wars show episode, there were a couple of key features in it that were actually quite interesting, despite it being a slow news week, as I say. There's an interview with Josh Brenner, the voice of Neeku from Star Wars Resistance. That was entertaining and worth watching. Not a lot of detail, but Josh Brenner, he's an interesting personality. It doesn't look like he has to change his approach to communication to come across as Neeku, the character in the Star Wars Resistance. It was quite fun to watch him talking and talking about his experience and talking about his eagerness to be part of the Star Wars universe. And the other main feature on the Star Wars show that is definitely worth checking out if you're into this sort of thing, and we certainly are, is that they ran through a new display of props from the Star Wars movies that they have set up at Lucasfilm, a series of prompts that they talked about and showed off with quite nice close-up high-resolution graphics. Blasters from Rogue One, Han Solo's ID card from Solo, A Star Wars Story, Min Man's Stormtrooper helmet, I wish I'd focused on that just a tiny bit more, I love that helmet, Praetorian Guard helmet.
They've also got a bunch of the young Jyn Erso toys that were made for Rogue One, including the little wooden Stormtrooper toy that one of the Death Troopers finds. And it's quite neat seeing those closer up.
Yeah, they had young Jyn's wooden astromech and her little OPC killer toy. We've seen those some of those in the visual dictionary, but these were quite neat to see in the display cabinet at Lucasfilm. The broken lightsaber from The Last Jedi.
That was really neat to see closer up, seeing the two halves of the broken kyber crystal in each half of the lightsaber and seeing all the sort of twisted metal around it. It was really neat to see that closer up.
Poe's quadnoculars from The Force Awakens, a Rey's speeder maquette, a lot of the gambling currency from the Sabacc games and Solo, A Star Wars Story.
And they even had one of the life-size Porg statues that was sort of a mid-range, not a close-up Porg figure, but one of the ones that was used in the sort of mid-range, not background, and it has the most incredible feather details. It was really neat to see one of those closer up.
Yeah, so that was an actual puppet. It wasn't just a static thing. Apparently, it was one that is articulated and it could be used to sort of act on screen. It wasn't a hero close-up one, as you say, but fun to see and bigger than you expect, really. Star Wars show also wrapped up by just reminding us that the Star Wars Fan Awards voting is currently open. That is open until the 13th of November, so not much longer now. Submissions for this contest were open to New Zealand. We mentioned this last week. They don't have the geographic region that the contestants are from, so we don't actually know if there's any New Zealanders in that finalist. We haven't heard directly. But check those out online on starwars.com and vote in the different categories for the productions that you would particularly personally enjoy. Store reports. There's been quite a lot of turnover in a number of different retailers, probably because we're building up towards the Christmas season a little bit. So we've seen new things at The Warehouse, Farmers, Mighty Ape, and of course Cotton On, bringing a lot more out, as we've been talking about in the last few weeks. Let's run through some of the highlights. At The Warehouse, from Park Avenue, the Australasian confectionery company that we've seen a lot of over the last few years, there is a new Star Wars ceramic mug and a tin lunchbox, both of which contain marshmallows, both of which feature graphics from Solo, A Star Wars Story, Chewbacca and his Vandor goggles, Range Troopers, Millennium Falcon and so forth. Quite fun products, very cheaply priced, $6 for the ceramic mug and $10 for the tin lunchbox. Fun as collectibles, even if you don't intend to use them for their intended purpose.
Those are in the Christmas food sections of the Warehouse stores, yep, if you want to check them out in person.
Two new shirts, Star Wars t-shirts at Cotton On, one in the men's section and one in the women's section. The men's one features a Star Wars logo, the women's an exclusive graphic image of vintage C-3PO and R2-D2 action figures, both are priced at $29.99. A lot of Cotton On products not the garments, but a lot of other Cotton On products are also available at Typo and can be ordered online through their website. They also have the click and collect service, so that if you find something online, can't find it at your local branch, you can purchase it online but pick it up from your local branch. Mighty Ape has a Star Wars Day by Day disc calendar for 2019, priced at $29.99. So that has 365 tearaway pages with Star Wars imagery from the entire franchise on a day-to-day basis, as well as trivia and quotes and so forth. They're always a fairly popular item when they're released. A lot of Star Wars drink bottles are Cotton On, metal drink bottles, 500ml capacity, a lot of different graphic designs. They're actually on sale at the moment, discounted to, I think, $20 from $29.99, down from $29.99. And plastic drink bottles with 1,000ml capacity, as well as at least one kids design in a slightly smaller 500ml capacity plastic drink bottle. Check them out on the Cotton On website.
There's new Star Wars bath sets at Farmers. There is two new items. One is a 4-pack of bath and body wash with different characters on each bottle. First Order Stormtrooper, Kylo Ren, Rey, and BB-8. Each bottle has 75ml. That set is priced at $18.99. And there is also what they call a Star Wars water cannon bath set. This comes with a bottle of body wash and a bath water toy that's got a First Order Stormtrooper helmet on the top of it that you use to fire jets of water at two little plastic targets. So this is a great fun little kids pool or bath time activity set, and that one is priced at $24.99 per set. At Kmart there is a new children's Christmas Trooper t-shirt priced at $10 in children's sizes 7 to 16. This is a red t-shirt with a classic Stormtrooper helmet on it with a Santa hat on the top of the helmet, which is fun for kids wanting to get into the holiday spirit. And also at JJ's, there are adults unisex style crew socks in two packs. The first pack features Chewbacca, R2-D2 and Porgs, while the second set features Vader and Stormtroopers. These are one size fits most for $15 per pack, and that includes two pairs of socks.
Quite a wide range of products coming through in the store reports at the moment. Not a lot in terms of action figures, but hopefully something before Christmas. But lots of other things building up to the Christmas season.
And also, we're a few weeks away from the American Black Friday season, which a lot of international online retailers tend to celebrate with the Cyber Monday sales around that time, towards the end of November. So we'll definitely be keeping an eye out for any New Zealand retailers that decide to join in with a local Black Friday / Cyber Monday sale promotion.
Okay, that's it for store reports, and that's pretty much about it for this week. So I guess we're done doing talking. It's turned from a bit of a quiet news week into a hugely exciting news week with that KSN Andor news. I think we're both highly motivated to go back and watch Rogue One, A Star Wars Story on home video now, including I want to watch through all of the extras on the DVD set as well. Thank you for listening in. Stay tuned to our website, swnz.co.nz, for Star Wars news for New Zealanders, and stay tuned for our next weekly podcast episode. Follow our Facebook page and other social media, and chat with other fans in the Star Wars New Zealand Facebook group. The Star Wars New Zealand Facebook group has just broken through the 1,000 member milestone, so there's a good community of local Star Wars fans that you can interact with and share your fandom and hobbies related to Star Wars. Thank you for listening.
May the Force be with you.